You're listening to Evil, a true crime podcast. Join me each week as I bring you real people, real stories, real crimes, and the evil they encountered. Hi guys, welcome back. It's been a minute, huh? I know I took a little break for the holidays and I kind of extended that break just to kind of take care of myself. I've been going just through some mental health stuff, you know. You guys know that I struggle with depression and anxiety sometimes, so I just took a little bit of time to work on myself. Your girl has also been working 17-hour days now. I'm working two back-to-back jobs and trying to be a mom and, you know, be as involved as I can and trying to rest during the weekend. So it's been a little bit of a struggle, but I'm glad to say I'm back. I'm trying to drop as much content and be able to record as much content as I possibly can. Like I said, I've just been working a lot, and I know it could be easy for me to just like record a half-ass episode, but I don't want to do that. I just don't feel like it's fair to the victims. I don't feel like it's fair to you guys, and I just don't feel right doing that. That's not the type of person that I am. I try to make the best content that I can, as far as I can. Like I said, I'm a newbie at this. I'm not so great at technology, but I'm trying to learn and grow through the process. I really enjoy doing this and researching it and just speaking about the victims and learning about the cases. And I'm just glad that you guys have been so patient and have been listening. And if you guys follow my personal TikTok, you guys can usually see that I'm usually at work because I'm usually posting one there. But that's what's been going on with me. I hope that you guys had an amazing holiday season, if you guys celebrate, and that you guys had an amazing time with your family, and that you guys have been having an awesome new year. And hopefully everything is going amazing. I know that right now inflation is crazy. The prices of eggs are crazy. So yeah, I just hope that everybody's doing good. And again, I just wanted to say thank you for joining me again. I'm happy to be back. So today, the case that I'm going to be bringing you is a case that's actually local to my area. I actually came across her case when I was just doing some random research. So today I'm bringing you the case of a young woman who is driven and she was making a difference in the world and in her community. Today we're going to be talking about the murder of UNC student body president Eve Carson.
Hey y'all, my name is Eve Carson and I'm your student body president. It's great to be in Chapel Hill. If you're a returning student, can't wait to see you again. If you're a new student, welcome to the Carolina family.
Eve Marie Carson was born in Athens, Georgia on November 19, 1985. She was born to Bob and Teresa Carson, and she has one brother named Andrew. From a young age, she was focused and excelled in academics. She attended Clark Central High School, where she was elected president of the student body and was class valedictorian. Eve was also a member of the school's academic team and vice president of the school's National Honor Society. She loved school and she clearly thrived, but education wasn't her only interest. Eve spent time volunteering as a peer educator at the Athens Area Attention Home, a safe house for abused and runaway teenagers. She also served as a page in the U.S. House of Representatives and worked as a lab assistant in stem cell research lab at the University of Georgia. Eve attended college at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, where she majored in political science and biology. And I'm not trying to be biased, but go Tar Heels! Her academic achievements earned her membership in the Phi Beta Kappa Honor Society and allowed her to become a recipient of the Moorhead Kane Scholarship. She was offered scholarships at Princeton and Yale universities, but chose UNC because she wanted to attend a public school. During college, Eve participated in and she also led numerous organizations and service projects. She was selected to be a North Carolina Fellow and take part in a four-year leadership development program. She served as the co-president of the Honors Program Student Executive Board and as the co-chairwoman of UNC's chapter of Nourish International, which was a hunger relief organization. She was also a member of the Committee on Scholarships, Awards, and Student Aid, the Academic Advising Program, the Chancellor's Committee for University Teaching Awards, the Chancellor's Search Committee, UNC's Chapel Hill's Board of Trustees, the Carolina Leadership Development Board, and the Athletic Council, and was an orientation counselor at freshman camp. So this girl was slam-packed, involved, and busy. She did not mess around. She was super, super involved. Eve was inaugurated as president of UNC student body in April 2007, where she garnered 55% of the vote, you guys. Her term was due to expire in April of 2008, and she really took her role serious. In this role, Eve served as a member of the university's Board of Trustees and many other committees, but viewed one of her most important roles as representing all UNC students. One of her major platform points when running for student body president that Eve was especially vocal about was providing students more predictable increases in school tuition and fees. Her platform also included ideas to provide additional opportunities for all students, most notably the establishment of prestigious scholarships for students in their junior year who showed outstanding commitment and service to the university, and the creation of an endowment to fund a big-name speaker series that would be free for all students. So she really wanted to make a difference, and she really wanted to make a productive change for all the students on the campus of UNC. And just like she did in high school, Eve gave back to her community while attending college. Eve volunteered with children. She was an assistant coach for the Girls on the Run program. In addition to coaching, she taught science to elementary school students as part of UNC's Inspire program, and she also tutored middle school students. Eve also studied abroad. She traveled to several different countries. She also traveled to different parts of the U.S. In 2004, she participated in a wilderness leadership program in Wyoming through the National Outdoor Leadership School. During the summer of 2005, Eve traveled to Ecuador, where she volunteered in the rural countryside as a medical assistant, worked on a coffee farm, and taught computer skills to member of the indigenous, I don't know if I'm saying this right, so I hope I do, but if I don't, I'm so sorry, Siona community in the Amazon rainforest. In 2006, Eve studied abroad with UNC's spring semester in Havana, Cuba, where she spent the summer working with the U.S. Naval Medical Research Unit in Egypt. She also was a reflections leader for the APPLES, which is the acronym for APPLES, and it stands for Assisting People in Planning Learning Experiences in Service Program at UNC. Eve was interested in scientific policy and planned to pursue higher education after graduating from UNC, and she was going to do this by either attending graduate school and studying public health and or public policy, or by attending law school. Eve even had a job already lined up after graduation. She had accepted a job at McKinsey & Company as a management consultant, and like how freaking exciting, she was constantly working so hard to better herself and it was paying off. She was just in such an amazing transitional phase of her life, you know, going from college to going to the real world. And she just seemed like she worked so hard and she was starting to reap the benefits. You know, she had this job lined up and she just was creating this beautiful life that she had worked so hard for. But all of this would unfortunately come to a devastating end. So WREL, which is the local news station around here, did an amazing job with the timeline of Eve's untimely murder. So that's actually what we're going to be using. And the timeline actually goes back a couple of months before the murder happened. So the timeline actually starts a couple of months before Eve's murder. And the timeline that WREL made and provided starts off on April 3rd, 2007, and that's when Eve was inaugurated as UNC's student body president. And she was quoted as saying, "I've loved UNC since my first week here. This year will be a year of growth and inclusion." On March 3rd, 2008, DeMario James Atwater, 21, appeared in a Wake County court for a probation hearing stemming from a February 20th arrest. But the case is continued until March 31st because of a clerical error. Eve, on the other hand, was attending a Nike fan appreciation event where she received a white Be True wristband and a special pair of Carolina Blue shoes commemorating the event. On March 4th, Eve and her friend Margaret Worth attended the UNC Florida State game at the Dean E. Smith Center. But also on the night of March 4th, Lawrence Lovett called his friend Jason McNeil and asked him to drive him and his friend Rio to Chapel Hill, where he wanted to rob someone. McNeil, being, you know, fucking smart, declined, and Lovett instead drove his mother's car to Chapel Hill, where he and Atwater searched for a victim. On March 5th, around 1:30 a.m., Eve decided she was going to stay home, even though her friend and roommate Justin wanted her to go out. They wanted her to go out and blow some steam, go to the bars, and just have a good night out. But Eve decided that she was going to stay in instead and just pull an all-nighter and catch up on some things. So Justin went ahead and left Eve at home at 202 Friendly Lane, where they lived. Now, according to the timeline, at 3:30 a.m., a UNC student named Caroline Harper was sitting in her car talking on her cell phone in the parking lot at the 5805 sorority house on East Rosemary Street when she saw two men staring at her about 15 feet from where she was sitting at in her car, and it scared her, so she drove away. And while she was driving away, she saw the men walking towards Friendly Lane through her rearview mirror. At 3:37 a.m., Eve uses her computer for the last time. Atwater and Lovett then saw Eve as she was going towards her car to get something out. They forced their way into Eve's car, with Lovett getting into the driver's seat and Atwater getting into the back seat. They forced Eve into the back seat, where Atwater held her hostage with a gun to her head. The men threatened Eve and took her to several ATMs to rob her. Like, can you even imagine how scary? You're just literally minding your own damn business. You're running to your car to get something out, and then these two assholes literally just shove you into your car, kidnap you, and put a gun to your head and try to rob you. It's terrifying, honestly. It's so fucking terrifying. At 3:55 a.m., someone makes two transactions totaling $700, the maximum daily amount, from Eve's bank account at the Bank of America ATM at University Mall in Chapel Hill. Five attempts to withdraw more money were unsuccessful. At 4:30 a.m., Singer returns home, and Singer, if you don't remember, is Justin, but we're just calling him by his last name. Singer was Eve's roommate. So Singer returned home at 4:30 a.m. to find the door open and lights on, and Eve and her 2005 Toyota Highlander were missing. Singer then tried to call Eve on her cell phone, but no one answered. At 4:44 a.m., someone attempts to withdraw $200 from a Bank of America ATM at Northgate Mall in Durham. At 5:08 a.m., Alexandra Boinski calls 911 after hearing gunshots and a woman scream behind her house on Maryland Drive off of East Franklin Street, about a mile from the UNC campus. Chapel Hill Police Officer Scott Follis finds a young woman lying in the road at Hillcrest Road and Hillcrest Circle. She has no ID on her, but she's wearing a gold locket and a white Be True wristband. Eve's body was tilted on her left hip with her right arm bent behind her head. Lovett told a friend of his that during the crime, Eve tried to reason with her captors, telling them that they didn't have to do what they were doing. She also begged for her life, telling them that they could take whatever they wanted and did not need to kill her. Lovett and Atwater decided to murder Eve because she had seen their faces. They took her to a densely wooded neighborhood around a mile from UNC to carry out the killings. When Eve realized that they were going to kill her, she asked them to pray with her. That was the one fucking detail that literally broke my heart. Like, they killed her because they wanted to rob her. They were, these pieces of shit literally kidnapped her and decided to murder her just because she saw their faces. Like, that on its own is just like, what the fuck? But then she, once she figured out that they were still going to kill her, she asked them to pray with her. And these motherfuckers still killed her. I can't. I just, it makes me want to throw shit. Like, it just enrages me so much. It's so fucking devastating. On March 6th at 12:39 p.m., someone attempted to use Eve's ATM card twice at Morehead Mini Mart in Durham. At 2 a.m., concerned that she hadn't heard from her roommate, Ann Lassiter goes to the Chapel Hill Police Department where she identified Eve as the woman found the day prior. Can you even imagine? Oh my God, having to identify your roommate and your friend? God, that's so heartbreaking. So fucking heartbreaking. I can't. Investigators traced Eve's cell phone to a wooded area along eastbound U.S. Highway 15 and 501. At 2:16 a.m., someone makes three transactions totaling $700 at the Northgate Mall ATM. Three other attempts were unsuccessful. At 2 p.m., police find Eve's SUV near the intersection of North and Hillsborough Street. At 3 p.m., UNC Chancellor James Moser spoke to the student body on the Central Quad, and at 7 p.m., students organized a candlelight vigil in the pit, and that's a sunken plaza near the Student Union building. The service included singing by three students, an a cappella group, and a slideshow photo of Eve. Hundreds of people attended Eve's funeral in Athens on March 9th, including Moser, who said that Eve was truly a gift to Chapel Hill. In honor of Eve, the North Carolina men and women's basketball teams wore a black badge on their jerseys that read Eve for the remainder of their season. On March 7th, someone makes two attempts at 12:54 a.m. to withdraw money from Eve's checking and savings account at the North Carolina Food Mart in Durham. They were unsuccessful because the bank had placed a transaction stop on the account. On March 8th, Chapel Hill police asked the public for help to identify a man in a surveillance photo from the Willow Drive ATM. Before the start of the Carolina versus Duke men's basketball game, there was a moment of silence in Eve's honor. On March 9th, Eve is buried at First Union's Methodist Church in her hometown of Athens, Georgia. Chapel Hill investigators say they believe a second person is in the back seat of the SUV and the surveillance photo. And I have the surveillance photo. I'm going to put it up on the Instagram. And it's super grainy. It's really hard to see, but you can kind of tell that there is someone in the back seat. But like I said, I'll put it up on the Instagram and it is a little grainy, but you can kind of see it. On March 10th, police released two new surveillance photographs from the Carolina Food Mart. On March 12th, Durham police arrest Atwater, 21 of 414 B. Macon Street, at about 5 a.m. at a house on Rosedale Drive in Durham. He is charged with first-degree murder, as he should be. Chapel Hill police issue an arrest warrant for Lovett, whom they've identified as the driver in the ATM bank photo. Atwater is identified as the man in the convenience store photos. On March 13th, Lovett of 1213 Shepherd Street in Durham surrenders at 4:16 a.m. to authorities in Durham, and he is charged with first-degree murder. He is 17 years old. 17 years old, guys. He is subsequently charged in the January 18th shooting death of Duke University graduate student Abhijit Mahato, who is 29. So, he's 17, but he's also, like, a little shit. Like, he's just out here making all these fucked up, stupid-ass choices. And it's just, honestly, it's a shame. On March 14th, Robert L. Guy, director of the Department of Corrections Division of Community Corrections, launches an internal investigation to determine why the system overlooked Atwater on probation at the time of Eve's death. Federal investigators open an investigation, and federal sources said they are looking at carjacking charges, which can carry a death penalty if prosecutors can prove the carjacking was committed during a homicide. On March 18th, UNC held a memorial service at the Dean E. Smith Center to celebrate Eve's life. An estimated 10,000 people, including Eve's family and hometown friends, attended the event. On March 31st, an Orange County grand jury indicts Levitt and Atwater on first-degree murder charges. On May 21st, a report by Durham City Manager Patrick Baker reveals that Levitt should have been in jail at the time of Eve's slaying. But he wasn't because police didn't file appropriate charges against him during a November break-in. And yes, I'm sorry I said it like that because it's just, I can't, oh! Like, that's the type of shit that pisses me off. So, yeah, he should have been in fucking jail. And because police didn't file the right charges, she was killed. I mean, it's not 1,000% their fault. But again, he should have been in jail. He should have been in jail. And there could have been a possibility that she would still be alive today. So, super fucking unfortunate. Eve's dual major bachelor's degree was posthumously awarded for the first time in the university's history to her parents and her brother at the May 2008 UNC graduation ceremony that she would have attended if she had lived. She was posthumously awarded the General Alumni Association of UNC's 2009 Distinguished Young Alumni Award. Due to the high-profile nature of the case, records such as the autopsy report and search warrants were sealed from the public view in the months after the murder. On June 27, 2008, some information was released. Details in six warrants confirm that $1,400 was withdrawn from ATMs using Eve's card over a two-day period after the shooting. They also revealed that Atwater admitted to being the suspect attempting to use the ATM card in a security video taken in a local convenience store, and that Levitt was indeed the person pictured in the original ATM surveillance photograph. On June 30th, Eve's autopsy report was released. Medical examiners found she was shot four times in the right shoulder, right upper arm, right buttocks, and right cheek with an X-CAM GT27.25 caliber semi-automatic pistol. She was also shot once with a sawed-off Harrington & Richardson top model 12-gauge shotgun in the right temple. She also suffered a wound to her right hand, likely because she used it to cover her face. The bullet went into her right temple and brain. According to a forensic psychologist and criminal profiler, the manner in which Eve was shot showed a complete lack of regard for another person. According to a confidential informant later revealed as a prosecution witness, Jason McNeil, both Atwater and Levitt had shot Eve. Levitt told McNeil that he had shot Eve with the handgun while Atwater shot her with the shotgun. According to Levitt's confession, Eve was still alive and moving after being shot several times with the handgun. Atwater then stood over her and shot her again, killing her. The medical examiner found no physical evidence that Eve had been sexually assaulted. However, Atwater touched her on different parts of her body and fiddled with her clothing. Like, ugh, gross. You piece of shit. You're so gross. On July 7th, an Orange County grand jury indicts Atwater and Levitt on additional charges of first-degree kidnapping, first-degree robbery with a dangerous weapon, felonious larceny, possession of a firearm by a felon, and felonious possession of stolen goods. Atwater is also indicted on a charge of possession of a weapon of mass death and destruction. On August 11th, Orange County District Attorney Jim Woodsall says he will seek the death penalty against Atwater. Levitt cannot face the death penalty because he is a minor at the time of Eve's death. On October 27th, a federal grand jury indicts Atwater on a charge of carjacking resulting in death, which could allow federal authorities to seek a death penalty. As a result of the Romper v. Simpson ruling, Levitt could not face the death penalty as he was under 18 at the time of the crimes. On January 16th, federal prosecutors announced they will seek the death penalty against Atwater. On January 30th, Atwater is indicted on federal charges of kidnapping and using firearms during and in relation to carjacking. On March 5th, which was the anniversary of Eve's death, UNC Chancellor Holden Thorpe calls on students, faculty, and staff to give back to the community as a way to remember her. He said, quote, "Our traditions of public service and access never met a better friend," end quote. "She never quit pushing us to do more for our world and for each other." On April 19, 2010, Atwater pled guilty to federal charges of carjacking resulting in death, kidnapping resulting in death, carrying and using firearms during and in relation to carjacking and kidnapping resulting in death, possessions of a firearm by a convicted felon, and possessions of a short-barreled shotgun without such weapon being properly registered. Under his plea, Atwater agrees to life imprisonment, which of course he would because, you know, it's okay for him to take a life, but he didn't want to see the death penalty. So anyways, just my two cents on that. Atwater was ordered to undergo substance abuse treatment and to pay restitution if he should ever be released, which Judge Beatty noted was highly unlikely. At the sentencing hearing, Atwater turned to Eve's parents and said, "I'm sorry for everything that's happened. No matter what the court did today, it would be far from anything I should receive." Eve's parents declined to speak during the hearing. On May 24th, Atwater pled guilty to state charges. Now, you got to remember, he got charged with federal charges and state charges. So he pled guilty to the federal charges, and now he's pleading guilty to the state charges, which included first-degree murder, robbery with a dangerous weapon, first-degree kidnapping, and possession of a firearm by a felon. And he was sentenced to life in prison for murder and 275 to 349 months for other crimes. In exchange for his plea, state prosecutors agreed not to pursue the death penalty. Judge Alan Bedore of Superior Court in Hillsborough subsequently sentenced him to life in prison without the possibility of parole for the murder charge and also imposed a concurrent sentence of 23 to 29 years for the additional charges. Atwater is currently serving his life sentence at a high-security federal prison in California. On December 20th, 2011, a jury found Lovett guilty of first-degree murder, first-degree kidnapping, first-degree armed robbery, felonious larceny, and felonious possession of stolen goods. He was sentenced to life in prison without parole for murder and 177 to 231 months in prison for the other charges. On February 5th, 2013, the North Carolina Court of Appeals vacated Lovett's life sentence and ordered a new sentencing hearing. The decision relied on Miller v. Alabama, where the Supreme Court ruled that a mandatory sentence of life in prison without parole for defendants under 18 at the time of the crime is cruel and unusual punishment. On June 3, 2013, after Bedore considered mitigating circumstances, Lovett was again sentenced to life without the possibility of parole. Orange County District Attorney Jim Woodall said that Lovett was a predator and that he did not care about the consequences of his actions or about other people. Quote, "He does not care about other people. He cares about one person. He cares about Lawrence Lovett," end quote. Woodall also said that Lovett should not be allowed to ever victimize another person. Judge Bedore said he did not believe there is any chance of the now 22-year-old being rehabilitated. And like, damn, that's sad. Lovett then appealed his sentence, arguing that his lawyers may have made different trial decisions had they known about the upcoming Miller ruling. He also argued that had he been aware of upcoming state laws prohibiting life without parole sentences for juveniles convicted of crimes other than first-degree murder, he might have conceded his guilt to underlying felonies and focused more on defending against premeditation and deliberation as a basis for the murder. Additionally, he argued that the sentencing process granted the judge too much discretion and that because he was not irretrievably corrupt, his life sentence was cruel and unusual. Judge Alan Bedore, the same judge who sentenced Atwater in 2010, stated that the life that Ms. Carson led was too short. but I know that she continues to be an inspiration not only for her family, but for thousands in this community and across the country. Lovett decided to speak publicly for the first time about the crime. Quote, "You know, people make mistakes. Nobody's perfect. I'm not the monster that y'all made me out to be. I know that this has been a traumatic ordeal for everybody involved. For that, I send my condolences to everybody who's been affected by it. If it means anything to anybody, it means something to me." End quote. You know what I didn't hear in this whole statement that he made? I didn't hear, "I'm sorry." I don't know. It might just be me being like picky, but I cannot stand when people say, "I apologize." Like, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear, "I'm sorry." I want to hear some remorse. I want to hear, "I am so sorry. I know that there's nothing that I can do to change this, but I'm sorry." Not, "I apologize." But again, that's just me. That's just me being picky. So whatever. On May 6, 2014, the North Carolina Court of Appeals upheld Lovett's June 2013 life sentence. Prosecutors had also charged Lovett with the January 2008 murder of 29-year-old Duke University engineering student Abhijit Madhuhut. He was found not guilty in July 2014. Lovett is currently serving his life sentence. He was previously incarcerated as Pasquotank Correctional Institution, a close and minimum custody prison in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. He was transferred there on April 8, 2021. During his incarceration, he has committed 7 infractions, and they include threatening to harm staff, disobeying orders, involvement with gangs, profane language, possessing substances, and audio and video image devices. Lovett is now incarcerated at the News Correctional Institution. So, in my opinion, the judge and the prosecutors were not wrong about this guy not being able to be rehabilitated, because he just seems like a piece of work. Like, he just doesn't want to change. And I don't think they were wrong for making that decision, in my opinion. It's been 15 years since Eve's brutal murder, but her memory is still very much alive on UNC's campus today. To honor her life, the University of North Carolina established the Eve Carson Scholarship, officially the Eve Marie Carson's Memorial Junior Year Merit Scholarship, in order to achieve Eve's goal of rewarding students who had grown significantly in the areas of academics, social justice, and leadership since their college matriculation. The scholarship is entirely student-run and is awarded annually to 2 juniors at the university, and it includes a $5,000 stipend for a summer experience and half cost of attendance for the student's senior year. The scholarship is intended to allow students to further give back to UNC by alleviating the financial burden of paying for college, upholding the scholarship's tagline of students celebrating students. The Morehead Cain Scholarship also endowed a 4-year full-merit scholarship in Eve's honor named the Eve Marie Carson Carolina Way Scholarship. The scholarship is expected to help attract qualified out-of-state students to the university and will provide recipients with additional programming and support during their undergraduate's career. The case was brought to national attention again in 2009 after American Idol finalist Anoop Desai, who was a friend of Eve's, talked about her death on the show and how it motivated him to audition. On the 2nd anniversary of her death, UNC dedicated the Eve Marie Carson Garden in honor of her and all students, past and future, who die before graduation. The garden is located near the campus's YMCA, an organization in which Eve was active, and contains a blue stone seat overlooking the campus's main quad. One feature of the garden is a wall of Georgia marble inscribed with her words, quote, "Learn from every single being, experience, and moment. What a joy it is to search for lessons in goodness and enthusiasm in others," end quote. Near the memorial garden is a Carolina blue butterfly-shaped bench. And guys, it is beautiful. I will insert pictures of it on the Instagram. And if you've ever seen UNC's campus, it's beautiful. the campus is just beautiful in general, but they did a very, very great job of honoring her memory and making sure that she is not forgotten and still not forgotten and not forgotten and is still very much alive on the campus. The Pi Beta Phi and Phi Delta Theta chapters of UNC now host the annual Eve Carson Memorial 5K for Education in her honor. The race was established in 2008 and continues to grow each year. The money raised at the 5K benefits the Eve Carson Scholarship Fund, the Pi Beta Phi Literacy Fund, and CEO for Teens. Finally, a distinguished lecture series created as part of Eve's student body president platform was renamed in her honor in the fall of 2010 by the University Executive Branch of Student Government. The series aimed to bring big-name speakers to campus in order to challenge students and spark discussions. Speakers have included Elizabeth Edwards, Greg Mortensen, and most recently former White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs. The North Carolina General Assembly took legislative action in the wake of Eve's murder, passing the North Carolina Street Gang Suppression Act in the summer of 2008. The law, which went into effect on December 1st, imposes specific criminal procedures and additional and heightened penalties for offenders involved in criminal gang activity. It applies to crimes committed on or after its effective date. So, yep, there you go, guys. That was the case of Eve Marie Carson. And it's just so fucking unfortunate. It's just unfortunate. She had so much going on for her. She was making such a big difference in her community. And she was so involved. And she was just such a genuinely good person and wanted to do good. And she just saw the best in people. And these two low lives decided to take her life for $1,400 in total. So what, $700 each? That's how much her life was worth. And now they're both spending the rest of their life in prison. So like, just a sad situation all around. So yeah, you guys tell me what you think. I will have pictures on the Instagram. I hope you guys enjoyed the case. And yeah, let me know your thoughts. And until next time, I will see you guys later. To stay connected, follow our Instagram at evilpodcast88, also on TikTok at evilpodcast, and our Twitter is at evilpodcast88. Comment, like, share, review, give us a rating, let us know what you think, and as always, watch the fuck out for evil. I'll catch you on the next one. Bye, guys.